98.1 KZE. It is MK with you on your Friday afternoon. And with me in the studio is Ivan Rubenstein Gillis. Welcome at last.
Thank you so much. It is wonderful to be here. Great to see you. You and KZE are a light in the fog of digital malfeasance.
Oh, shucks.
How about that?
That's good. That's a good opening line.
All right. I'm done.
Nice to see you. This has been great. Yeah. No, I mean, it's wonderful to see you. It's been a long time. We met when I was working at my last radio job, and I've always thought your music was so wonderful.
Thank you.
Play it here on the afternoon drive, and we just have been ships in the night of trying to get you to come and make it into the studio.
Yeah, life takes over, but we're here now.
Yeah,
so it's
made
great
it happen.
To be here. Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me, so for the uninitiated,
sure.
You are a longtime local of this area, I believe, right?
Yeah. So I like I suppose many people who end up here. I was born in the city, but grew up primarily in Ulster County. Lived there, went to high school there, left, but still am back. Lots.
Yeah.
I have family and friends in the area. I love the area and, you know, consider it a home. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're in Western Mass now.
Yes, that's right. I'm in another great part of the world
to live in. It's nice of you to stay in the KZE listening area.
Yeah. Yeah. In the Northeast, it's beautiful. So
yeah.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. And have you been playing music your whole life?
I have. I grew up in a musical family. I would say my aunt Verna Gillis, who I imagine some listeners may know of, was and still is in the music business, and had and still has a very dynamic career. And so I grew up around not only my parents' wonderful record collection, but around my aunt Verna and Uncle Brad, especially, who was a music fanatic. Verna had a jazz club in Hell's Kitchen in the city.
Right.
In the 80s. So I would spend a lot of time there just taking in an incredible diversity of sounds and vibes and everything else you can imagine.
I remember Verna being really cool. And do I remember that she had a connection with Roswell Rudd?
Yes, in fact, they were a couple
for the
last 15 to 20 years, I believe, more or less, of his life.
Yeah.
Roswell, someone I loved a lot, too, and was really lucky to actually collaborate with quite a bit over the last, especially 10 years of his life.
Oh, we play his music all the time.
Yeah,
there, yeah.
A really unique.
Amazing
everything,
musician.
Everything, you know, amazing musician. You know, especially I thought his strength, among, you know, many strengths was his live performance. So, of course, that can't happen anymore. But it's really great to hear that his songs and his recorded performances are living on. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for the refresher.
Yeah, absolutely. I refreshed myself as
well. Yeah. I think the first song of yours that I heard that you sent me back in the day was Stung, which remains one of my favorites.
Thank you so much.
I just think it's such a well-crafted song, and it's got that little like edge of humor that I always like.
Yeah.
And I remember there being a cute music video for it too.
Oh, that's right.
Or years cute, ago. But kind of creepy.
Yeah. I didn't have much to do with that one, but, Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, I remember that one well. And you are still making music. You have a new album out, right?
Yeah. I mean, the making music thing, it's something I've done since I was little and honestly couldn't stop doing it if I tried. And
yeah.
I don't try.
No, why would you?
Why would I? Well, there are times when it'd be helpful to be able to turn it off. And that's a struggle, I think, for a lot of creative people. But no, in general, yes, I'm thrilled that I was cursed and blessed with this and have recorded very consistently over the years and have sort of released, it's about a dozen of my own albums, you know, which are all up for streaming and all at all the usual sites, played with a lot of other people, played all sorts of events of different types. And yeah, it's what keeps me going and keeps me positive and happy and all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps you getting out of bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is the name of the new album?
Yeah. So my latest album, is, I wouldn't say a big departure, but it's a different iteration of some of the same old stuff. And it's with two local musicians who I really hold in high esteem. And that's part of the reason I wanted to come here. This is really a collaboration with two great longtime kind of Ulster County musicians. One is Craig Santiago, who's a fantastic drummer, has played in many, many different projects on many albums over the years. Just one of the funkiest, kind of rootsiest. That, to me, that's the incredible combination. Drummers that I've, you know, heard, let alone played with. And we recorded at the studio of Scott Petito, who's well known in this area, has played on, you know, dozens and dozens of projects. He also played bass on the project. So it's really a collaboration between the three of us. They are my songs, but we really did it together. It was a great experience, and sort of released it-ish, you know, about a year ago. But life took over a little bit, and so actually this spring is kind of another chance to get it out there. And yeah. So
are you going to be playing some shows?
Yeah, actually, good thing that you asked. we have kind of a private show this Sunday coming up. But if anyone's interested, I can leave my email or put my email on the air. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, if that's all right. It's private, but it's a really wonderful event, I think. I'm playing a set with Scott and Craig, and then there's actually going to be a community sing-along.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah, if you're free. Okay. Yeah. We'd love to have you. But this is in the Woodstock area. And again, it's kind of an intimate little house concert. But if anyone wants to reach out, I'm at ivansdreamband@gmail.com, spelled just how it sounds. And then I'll be doing another house concert in May 24th in Kerhonkson.
Cool.
At the Bradford Grave Sculpture Park, which is also the home of my Aunt Verna, who I mentioned.
Oh, sweet.
She's got a beautiful house there, and she does a concert series with some really great musicians. So that'll be in the afternoon, and that one's a bit more public, so maybe, you know, that'll be better publicized than this one this weekend. But those are two things coming up, and, you know, a few other things too, but those jump out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to one of the songs. So you were kind enough to send me a few of these, and I'm very curious about this one. Hey Sister DJ, what can you tell me about this song?
Yeah, I'm excited for you to hear it. So there was a song called Hey Mr. DJ, which was like a kind of dance club hit in the
90s. Was that like a Madonna tune?
Something like it.
Hey, Mr. DJ.
So I never knew the song, but I knew that the title was in my head somehow. And, you know, the songwriting process is pretty mysterious. Anyway, I had this title in my head, didn't really know the song, but I guess in some kind of little feminist intervention or something, I thought, this would be interesting is Hey Sister DJ.
Sure.
Growing up with Verna, growing up with a lot of strong women who I love and appreciate, and also thinking of you. And
thanks.
No, absolutely. You know, thinking about how being a DJ was synonymous with being male for decades. Mm-hmm. And that's wasn't the case in my life growing up. It's not the case now. So you're proof of that. So it kind of came from that. I just thought, oh, that might be an interesting song, and was thinking a lot too, just about changes in culture and in the culture of music and how things are more and more digital and how I certainly still crave the authentic. We were talking a little bit about this earlier. I crave music that was played by humans. I crave music that's not perfect, that feels
totally
feels human.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this song kind of comes from those angles. And I hope you and whoever's listening enjoys it.
Something from real humans or people. to play. Please just take my blues away. This devil is begging you. Desperate times and desperate measures. Sock me with your sonic pleasure. Bessie Smith and Lady Day. They could make it all okay. When I feel the doom, I need a cartoon. When hope is gone, bring me news right out to Alicante. Archie Shepp and Roswell Rudd. Something swimming from the mud. Something from the glorious gut. Something hewed of spit and blood. Hey, Sister D.
That's Ivan Rubinstein Gillis, Hey Sister DJ, off the new record. Remind me, what's the new record called?
Yeah, I should definitely do that. So it's actually, and there's a band name for this. That's not my name.
Okay.
So that's really important, yeah. I should have mentioned. But 500 Sons is the name of the band. Hungry Man is the album.
All right. Yeah. Sons, S-O-N or S-U-N?
S-U-N-S. Okay. And I should mention, too, that on that tune with the kind of howls in the background is a friend and collaborator, Sean Don, who's a great emerging hip hop artist from the DC area.
Yeah.
So she's on a bunch of tracks on the album.
Kind that's great.
Gives it a slightly different flavor.
It's really, I love the groove in it. Is there a little bit of like a loop happening with the riff there?
You know, I played it over and over.
Did you really? You just did it?
Yeah, I did. Old school, what can I say?
Yeah,
but it's a repeating riff and a kind of, well, it reminded me a little bit of R.E.M. and the way, you know, that they approach guitar playing. A lot of right hand picking and arpeggios, and I always love that style.
Yeah.
So probably comes from that.
It reminded me of like the music that I used to listen to on the radio in like the 90s, kind of that alternative where you would mix like some acoustic guitar and like a hip hop and a cool beat, and like I was getting that, which I think is the idea of the song, right?
I think so.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's terrific. And, you know, we were obviously, everyone's probably sick of hearing me having this conversation, but, you know, it's just, you just can't stop making music and you can't stop playing it.
No, you mean you in general.
You can't stop making music. I can't stop playing it. No. And it's so important as we are inundated on all sides with digital slop to just keep celebrating the human.
I mean, MK, I think about it all of the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do too. I mean, it's music is, it's absolutely unique force in the world. And it really keeps so many people, even people who never play instruments, keeps people afloat.
Yeah.
I mean, to imagine the world without music is, you know, it's not imaginable.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
truth. But think about it all of the time. I feel so blessed to play, but even more than that, just to have a dialogue with artists who I love and to listen and to come back to it, listen again.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, the most steady and greatest thing in my life.
Yeah.
Question.
I mean, I am very fortunate to have a job where I get to share music that I love with listeners who want to hear it. You know, that's very cool. And like, this is a job that wouldn't exist if music wasn't such a powerful force.
100%. I mean, can I ask you a question? So when you were growing up, did you think of becoming a DJ? How did you find your way into, you're so naturally talented.
Thank you. I mean, I found my way into it completely by accident. Right. I went to school for international relations. I didn't know what I wanted to do with that.
Yeah.
And then stumbled backwards into a radio job and was like, oh, actually, I like this. Mm-hmm. Music's always been important to me. And I, you know, was a musician myself long before I started working in radio. And, when I got my first radio job, I immediately was like, I want to use this as a platform to elevate local music and get more independent and local musicians on the air, because I knew that there were so many incredible, talented people in the scene who weren't, you know, known on a national level, and wanted to just, you know, give them a platform and use this media as a prism to refract their music back out into the world.
Nice.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing a great thing.
Thanks. Yeah, it's nice. Absolutely. It's fun. Can't complain. Ivan Rubenstein Gillis is my guest if you're just joining us. And you are holding a guitar.
Sure am. Which I often am.
Do you know how to play?
I mean, that's a good question. You know, sometimes I feel like I do, and other times I wonder.
I mean, maybe you just carry it around like, was it Quick Draw McGraw, the horse that would hit people over the head with the banjo?
Right. Yeah, I am happiest probably with a guitar, you know, very close by, if not in my hand. So, yeah, I was thinking of playing a song, if that's okay.
I think that would be great.
Okay, so this is another one off of this new album, this band being 500 Sons. And this song is called Cool Papa Bell, which is about a famous baseball player who's not as famous as he might be because he was African American, wasn't allowed to play in the major leagues at the time, played in the Negro Leagues. But from the time I was a kid, I think I was actually attracted to his name, first of all.
It's a great name.
You know, his nickname was awesome. I actually don't remember his full name. I should know it. But so from the time I was probably 8 or something and reading books about baseball and sports, he was in my head as, well, that's the coolest. He had to be cool with that name. And then as I, you know, grew older, I did a bit more research and learned a bit more about the history. But this is a song really, you know, thinking about that era of history and sports, and it's called Cool Papa Bell, and it's on the album, and I'm going to do it just me right now.
All right.
All right. And we good to go? All right. Cool Papa Bell, Cool Papa Bell, was he the greatest? No one could tell. Cool Papa Bell, Cool Papa Bell, was he the greatest? No one could tell. They said he was so quick that in his hotel room at night he would flip the switch and be in bed before the light went dark. He was a crafty master of the game, never had much money, but he had the coolest name. Cool Papa Bell, Cool Papa Bell, was he the greatest? Mighty Josh Gibson, the immortal Satchel Paige, could have been the hero of the age if they had joined the big leagues, but they never could. Maybe because they were too good. Cool Papa Bill, Cool Papa Bill, was he the greatest? No one could tell. Cool Papa Bill, Cool Papa Bill, was he the greatest? No one could tell.
KZE. Ivan Rubenstein Gillis is my guest in the studio. And yeah, that sounds good, solo acoustic. I like
Thanks.
That. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Paul Simon also has a song about Cool Papa Bell.
Yeah, that might have been in my head too. It also might not have. It's funny how those things work.
No, it's just funny that I didn't know who Cool Papa Bell was. I was just vaguely aware because it's such a great name that I was like, isn't there a song called that?
Yeah, it's not one of his hits.
Yeah.
I may or may not have heard it. But in the process of writing the song, I was not aware consciously of that. Came across it later. But yeah, I mean, that's good company. So.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. So once again, you're doing a private show this Sunday. And if you're out there listening and would like to go, this is in the Woodstock area?
Yeah, it's actually in Bearsville, you know, right next to Woodstock.
Okay.
Kind of part of Woodstock. And this is a concept that I wanted to try for a while. It is a little house concert, kind of 45 minutes or so with the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then a community sing-along.
Cool.
So we have a nice group of people coming so far. There's still some space if anyone's in the mood for that. I think the sing-along will be like classic rock and folk songs and whatever people want to do. Kind of back to our conversation about just music and humanity and the human connection. And it's something I'm kind of really curious to try it to see how it works. And maybe it's a model for more of this in the future.
I love the idea. I think there is such a power in people singing together, and especially people singing together in like a very casual, you know, spontaneous situation. You know, obviously, like there's bands and there's choruses and they practice and they sound incredible, but like there's something so just makes you feel so good about just like, you know, sitting around a campfire and somebody busts out a guitar and you're all singing Santeria because you all happen to know the words. You know what I mean? I literally had like a thought one day, and Santeria is the example that I pull because like that was what came to mind. I was like, are the kids today sitting around campfires singing Santeria? Like, are there songs like that for the kids of today that like they all just happen to know? I feel like we had so many like just ubiquitous songs, you know, and I don't know if there's that same culture anymore.
It's such a good point. So I was, one of my first jobs after college was I was a guitar teacher at a summer camp, and a lot of it was just that, sitting around playing songs that we all knew. And at the time, of course, everyone knew classic rock.
Sure.
And the Beatles and so on and so on and so on. Popular music was different back then. Mm-hmm. So pop music now, as you're well aware, tends to be four chords over and over, often not much of a melody, and often really reliant on the production.
Mm-hmm.
So the songs, you know, in general, though I still hear songs I love and enjoy, you know, I think work well just with a guitar.
Sure.
And people singing. It's not as common. Mm-hmm. And guitar is still out there, but it's not in the same way. They're kind of guitar figures in a lot of songs, mm-hmm. little parts that come and go. But the strumming kind of, that's just not what pop music is.
That's
right
not
now.
How most popular songs are written. And also, it's the music discovery method too, is that, you know, it used to be pretty much radio was where most people were hearing the same songs. And even when I was growing up, you know, like I just alluded to, like I was listening to a lot of radio, and we had, you know, there was still a very big radio industry, and that was the most common way. So you could kind of guarantee that if there was a song that you had heard a bunch on the radio, any given other person had probably also heard it a bunch too. And now there's so many varied ways to discover music, which I'm not even saying is a bad thing.
Right.
You just don't know, because you could be discovering music in a way and on a platform that, you know, the next person over is not even tuned into, and they could have a totally different way of finding music.
I mean, 100%. And there's also just, there are many more bands. There's much more music. You know, there are 10,000 bands in Fort Greene, Brooklyn alone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like people, right. So the references which people have, it's changed dramatically. And so it's interesting. I think, you know, when I've done this sort of thing over the last decade or two even, it still is a lot of those classics, because that's still the reference point. It's the Beatles and Tom Petty.
Like if Tom Petty's a good one.
He was almost like the last rock band, sort of.
That's good. I mean, I'm thinking of just like, so if you were to sit down at a campfire and you had the guitar and you wanted to sing something that you knew everybody would know, what's your first go-to?
Yeah. So it doesn't exist, I think. I mean, it depends on the age.
Okay.
On the age range. But I think most people 30s, 40s and up know the Beatles.
Sure.
It just still is. It's the Beatles, and maybe it will be for a long time. newer songs are more difficult. I listen to everything. I think Billie Eilish has some songs which are great to sing. Mm-hmm. They're songs.
Sure, you know,
they're constructed well. Taylor Swift is definitely another, I think, a reference point for a lot of people. Not many more than that that I can think of.
Okay.
You know, and if you go back a bit, again, 90s still had, you know, grunge. Mm-hmm. And some of those songs are playable. I think Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and then Tom Petty was still around.
Yeah.
And so on. And then 80s is an interesting time.
For sure.
But there was still a lot of the classic rock influence. And then, of course, anything, you know, I think 70s is probably still the sweet spot.
Yeah,
for singer-songwriters,
sure.
And so on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because for me, it's Santeria.
What you're talking about.
Oh, 90s, right? Sublime. Is that or Wagon Wheel? Everybody always knows Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, people know that.
Yeah.
Right. But that's only like 8 minutes right there. So you need to keep it going somehow. But it's also, I would say too, to this larger point, I mean, it's a beautiful opportunity for people to teach each other songs, which is
totally.
All, you know, and that has a real value too. And it's kind of vulnerable in a really sweet way.
Oh, yeah.
And to sing, even if you're not a great singer or 100%. Professional.
I'm telling you, it feels good. Singing in a group feels good.
Yeah.
I had a conversation recently with some folks from the Buttonball Barn because they're doing sea shanty nights.
Great.
And it reminded me of a time that back when the Rosendale Cafe used to do music, mm-hmm. they used to have a pub sing sometimes. And it was like these classic like pub songs. And these guys, I don't know where they found these songs, but they knew these songs. And everybody would get together and like they would teach you like the, you know, the chorus that everybody sings on, and they would, you know, like kind of like a verse chorus, like call response type of thing. And it was so wholesome. It just really harkened back to like a time of like pre-phone, pre-internet, just, you know, just how are we going to amuse ourselves? We're going to go to the pub and we're going to sing.
Just scurvy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the time of scurvy. That's how desperate people are for human connection.
Yeah.
They'll get scurvy just to...
Yes. Next summer, Ivan Rubinstein Gillis is setting sail on the scurvy boat. Only guitars, no limes. No, it's so great having you in here. And we got time for one more recording. Should we do...
Beautiful.
Which of these should we do?
Yeah, I think, I would play the title track for the album if you're up for that.
I absolutely
am. And I'll just give a very quick introduction. So this is called Hungry Man. The title of the song, also the title of the album. And I don't want to, you know, give too much away, but definitely comes out of some of these same conversations that we're having about human connection and about recognizing each other's humanity during some pretty strange times. So, you know, thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And thanks for playing my songs, too.
Hungry man, hungry.
98.1 KZE, that's the title track from the new album from 500 Sons, Hungry Man. Ivan Rubinstein Gillis has been my guest. This has been so nice. Thank you for coming.
100% my pleasure. Thank you so much. And hello to everyone out there. And a shout out, if I might,
please,
to Jonah and Kyla and David and Sarah and anyone else who might be listening at the moment. And again, if anyone's interested in this little house concert, /sing-along, just reach out to me at, I'll give you my email right now. It's ivansdreamband@gmail.com. And this is in the Bearsville area on Sunday afternoon coming up. And then another one coming up in May. And really looking forward to that. And wonderful to be here. And thank you, MK and KZE. Really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Keep the good music coming.
I will.
We got your community, actually no, it's your arts and culture calendar, and a new one from Lucy Dacus when we return. The Arts and Culture Calendar on 98.1 KZE is brought to you by Newberry Artisan Market, home to over 35